Luke's going to behave. Enoch. Now, there's a name you don't hear very often. Who in the world was Enoch? He walked with God. Well, and you know what? Is that what you'd like to be known for? Oh, definitely. Definitely. But who was he? Can we place him in Scripture to know who we're talking about? I'm preaching on Enoch because we're going through a series on the 11th chapter of Hebrews where a whole list is given of people who had faith. And if you remember, we've talked about the first one. We talked about Abel. I won't ask you who we talked about because it's been 2 weeks and probably you won't remember. But we talked about Abel. And now we're talking about Enoch. So it must be a connection in there somewhere as we go through this list in Hebrews. So I'll help you out. In the book of Luke, chapter 3, starting with verse 36, it says this. It's a listing of names. And it says, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Kenan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Oh. What is this passage about? Book of Luke. What is this passage about? Genealogy of whom? And it's actually of Joseph. Okay, so it's stepdad, right? Because Jesus is the son of God. But this is Joseph's line from Joseph, the dad of Jesus, all the way back to Adam. And so Enoch is in that line. So are you ready? Enoch was Adam's great, great, great grandson. He was Noah's great grandfather. And he was Methuselah's dad. Anybody ever heard of Methuselah? Who is Methuselah? Well, he's Enoch's son. Hello. Okay, what is Methuselah known for? Long life. Anybody know how long he lived? 969 years. Fred, you're a youngster. 969 years. Okay, so he's known for his relatives. What else is Enoch known for? Well, Lynn already said. He's known for his faith, right? And he's known for not experiencing death. That's what that last bit that Debbie read meant. He didn't experience death. There's only one other person in the Bible who didn't experience death. Anybody remember? Elijah, right? He goes up to heaven in the chariot. Okay? He didn't experience death. So in our Hall of Faith series, the first message was Abel, and now when I ask you what the second one was, you're going to say Enoch. So in Hebrews, to take it to our chapter, this is what it says about Enoch. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Those are verses 5 and 6. Enoch walked faithfully with God. It's said twice in the Genesis passage, and it's said here in the Hebrews passage. So this is an interesting note. When did Enoch in his life presumably start walking faithfully? It said in the passage Debbie read, after 65 years, Enoch became the father of Methuselah. And then it says, he began walking faithfully. It's interesting because there are those scholars who will say, he didn't start walking faithfully until he became a dad. wow, men, that's pretty cool. So maybe there was something he learned. Maybe he needed to lean on God a little bit more once he had those children. That's a possibility. In the Hebrew, the actual translation is simply Enoch walked with God, period. Many translations say he walked faithfully with God, but it says he walked with God. Who else walked with God in Scripture? Good guess. Moses was very close to God. He talked with God. But the one person in Scripture who is said to walk with God besides Enoch is Noah. And we're going to talk about him next week. Noah walked with God. And this word is the same as it's used to describe God walking in the garden. You remember when Adam and Eve were hiding? That he was walking in the garden. And so God promised to walk with the people of Israel. If you look into Leviticus and some of the passages in Deuteronomy, there's a promise there that he will walk with his people. But the people didn't walk with him faithfully, did they? So they had an opportunity, as do we, that they didn't live fully into it. So, walking. What in the world does that mean? In the Old Testament, there are three concepts of walking. There's walking in the Lord, walking before the Lord, and walking with the Lord. Those three. So walking in the Lord means that you're keeping all of his commandments. Okay? You're being obedient to him. In 1 Kings 3:14, it says, "If you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days." Want to live a long time? Walking in the Lord, keeping those commandments that we've been given. It's interesting, the concept of walking before the Lord. Quite a few major people, I started making a list, everyone, no, there are too many, are said to have walked before the Lord. And what it means is that our lives and our choices are on display for God to see. Right? We're walking, he's watching. We're walking before him. We all walk before the Lord. However, I suspect sometimes we wish he couldn't see us. I know that I do at times. It's like, don't look. But we are always, always in front of the Lord, and he is watching. When we walk in the Lord, we don't have any trouble walking before him. Right? We don't have any trouble with that. Only Enoch and Noah are specifically described as walking with God. What does it mean to walk with God? What's different than walking by faith, walking before God, and walking in him? Just a closer walk with thee. Thank you, Rachel. It just, that was a song when Judy and I met. It's like, oh yeah, this is going to be perfect for this. And it was so beautiful. Thank you. Also the song, In the Garden, another old hymn you may be familiar with. He walks with me. Come on, you can do it. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Walking with him. It's an image of intimacy. Can you think of a time that you went on a walk with somebody that you were very, very close to? Can you think about that? Somebody that you care deeply for and you went on a walk with them? Can you picture that in your mind? You don't have to share who it is. What was that like? Words are not necessary, are they, in that kind of walk? Silence isn't uncomfortable. You're aware of each other. You know how the other is feeling. Sometimes you even know what the other person is thinking. Maybe there's physical contact. Maybe not. It's not always necessary. It often happens in times of shared pain. Can you remember a time when you walked with somebody that closely? we have the privilege of walking with God. It takes our relationship with Him to a whole new level. We can sense Him. We can hear Him. We can know what He's thinking. It's almost a physical sensation. Do you want that? Do you want to be that close with God? Some people are afraid of that. It's like, oh, no, I don't want to be that close to God. He might know who I really am. Well, He kind of does. Just giving you a little clue there. We have to want it, to have it. Intimacy can be frightening. It truly can. To do this, we need to be totally open to God. Totally open. No pretense. No faking. No boundaries. Totally open. And like I said, He already knows us. We have nothing that we're going to lose because He already knows us. Let me share with you a few verses from Psalm 139. Many of you know I've shared this before. It's my favorite psalm. Love this psalm. But it's kind of scary. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before." That means He's holding you, both in front and in back. "And you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit?" Do you ever want to get away from God? "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." And this is the best part. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Do you ever feel bad about yourself? "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." That's intimacy. Why do we keep trying to hide? Why do we run away? Are we afraid that if Jesus really knew us, He wouldn't accept us and love us? Well, He already does know us. And He already does love us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's love. That's love. Think about your closest relationships. Everybody have that somebody in mind? Close relationships. How did you become so close to that person? Because unless it's somebody who is part of your family, time. You spent time with them. You made that relationship a priority. You invested in the relationship. And the same is true for our relationship with Christ. It's the same thing. Time in prayer. Time in scripture. Time in silence. That's scary. Silence is getting more and more uncomfortable. I don't know about you, I crave it more and more. There's so much noise everywhere. Noise, noise, noise. Turn the phone off. Put it out of the room. Close the door. Put a do not disturb sign on it. And sit down. And spend time with God. That's how we develop that kind of relationship with Him. We have to make it a priority. Turn off the phone. Put it somewhere else. Go inside a room. Put a do not disturb sign on the door if you need it. And spend time with God. My challenge for you this week, because if I said to you, do this half hour a day, right. Some of you would. Most of us have to build up that time. Here's my challenge. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Every day. 5 minutes. Can you do it? 5 minutes? Some of you are going, I'm not doing it. 5 minutes of silence. You will be so blessed you have no idea. No idea. And I'm going to tell you, your brain's going to play all sorts of tricks. All sorts of stuff. I can't do this. I have a meter to do. Stop. Set a timer. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. What kind of faith do we want to have? And this question, what kind of faith do we need as Mission Covenant Church? If all of us spent 5 minutes this week with God every day, we would come back next Sunday so much more able to receive what God has for us. And we're going to need that faith. I chose this series because God is calling us to a mighty purpose. Those of you who were at the workshop last Sunday, you know this. And it's exciting. But we've got to have the faith. When we talked about Abel, we talked about sacrificial faith. That's the kind of faith that it actually costs us something. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking of ourselves. This lesson from Enoch is we also need intimate faith. How are we going to know what God is calling us to do? Unless we're able to hear Him. Right? Can you do 5 minutes? 5 minutes a day. It's between you and God. But you will be blessed. You will be blessed. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, it's hard to spend 30 seconds in silence. But Lord, I ask you to put a desire in each one of our hearts that we will not be satisfied with a faith that's too busy. Lord, give us the courage and the conviction to spend just 5 minutes with you each day this week. And then, Lord, send your blessing as only you can do. Let us experience you in a new and deeper way and become hungry for more. Lord, we do love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.